Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions in the law. My name is Matthew Kurbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. On this show, I interview lawyers ditching the billable hour and experts who can help attorneys move beyond billing time. Thanks to my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, links to both in the show notes, more on them later, and use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED when signing up. You get 10% off, and it supports the show. The best way to support the show is to share it with someone you know. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. I'm thrilled to have with me the first of several of these interviews coming up for 2024. Martin Johnson, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure being here. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm really glad to have you, and I'm really glad you reached out. Before we dive into it, why don't you go ahead and just tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, Matt, I am an estate planning attorney based in Walnut Creek, California. I primarily focus on drafting for what I would call the mass affluent. You know, they're not extremely wealthy people, but they make good livings. Generally, my clients have a couple of children, maybe adult children, and own one or two pieces of property. I also do a little bit of probate work and trust administration. In addition to that, I am an enrolled agent, so I have a small tax practice where I actually prepare 100 to about 200 tax returns annually. And in addition, I am also a registered investment advisor. Two kids, live in California, trying to live the dream. And that's why I reached out to you.
I mean, so obviously, you before becoming an attorney, you've got many years of experience. Do you want to tell my listeners a little bit for how long you've been helping people with their taxes and financial things?
Actually became a registered investment advisor in 2016. Prior to that, I worked for Morgan Stanley, Prudential, and Allstate. So that goes back to 98, where I became securities licensed. In 2003, added the property and casualty license, did 7 years for Allstate. So I believe I bring a well-rounded background to my clients when you look at finance, tax, and estate planning. And I do a little bit of bookkeeping, but I generally tend to outsource that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just something I wanted to highlight for the listeners, because just like even though law school for me now is it's getting close to 15 years ago when I first got started there anyway. And I immediately looked to the, quote, non-traditional students as being far more experienced and wise. And I had more to learn from them, I felt, than I even had to learn from my law professors, right? Because they've been out there. They've been in the real world. They've worked a job. They have families. And so, you know, that was you. You were one of those law students. And you could tell just from when, you know, we had a pre-show conversation, but we didn't like prepare in that way. That was such a great tell me about yourself answer. Like, you've been in business for yourself, or you've been, you know,
for a long time.
Getting clients for a long time.
Yes.
And you've got a great customer avatar, client avatar, right? Like you've got that, you know, the mass affluent, how you defined that. I mean, like right there, like you do not have subscription. You're not using subscription in your law practice yet. You will be, but you already got some of these other things that attorneys need to have down if they're going to be successful practitioners, especially with their own practice, that it doesn't matter. I've said this before, but it doesn't matter if you have the best technology or the coolest subscription model. You know, if you can't do things like know your target market, you know, or be good at the law or have the experience to help your clients, like none of that matters, right?
Correct.
So really great that you have that going for you. So like I said, you know, you don't have the subscription model yet for your law practice. So let's learn a little bit about what you've been doing. So how have you been billing your clients so far?
Primarily flat fees for estate planning. And I do comprehensive estate planning. So from the revocable living trust, the healthcare directives, all of the components that would make up a comprehensive estate plan, it's been flat fee. On obviously the probate work here in California, there are some statutory fees. And for trust administration, it's primarily been hourly work.
So you're getting a little bit of everything in there except for a subscription.
Yeah. And, you know, the problem with flat fee, and I've heard you mention this before, is it's hard to determine exactly what the right flat fee is going to be, because invariably something pops up that wasn't discussed during the intake, and I end up feeling like I'm doing more work than the flat fee is worth. And so I've been trying to work on getting that better. But one of the problems I've said from day one with my model is that there is no revenue. You know, most people, they get their estate plan done and then they tend not to come back until maybe they need an amendment 2 or 3 years later.
Right, right. And at least with the tax work, you know, you've got them maybe coming back every year. They're reoccurring in that sense.
Yes.
Something that I've been playing around with in my head as I help local business owners start to move towards subscription models as well, or even for that reoccurring revenue, if you could get that, is let's say, you know, and let's just do round numbers here. You know, let's say you charge somebody $1,000 to do their taxes, and that might be high in some areas and low in others. It depends on their tax. Let's say you charge them $1,000 annually, and you know, every year they come back to you, but they have no loyalty, really. They're not under contract. You know, they don't talk to you until they need their taxes done. With the subscription model, you could even translate not just take that reoccurring revenue, but you could translate it to recurring revenue by, say, offering $100 a month subscription that includes for subscribers who stay subscribed annually, that they get other things in addition to that tax preparation, such as they have some weird accounting question that comes up. They could call you. That's part of the subscription, right? Maybe there's access to a knowledge base, like what lawyers can offer, right, to their clients. Some common questions that we get. That's a subscribe. Yes, it used to be SEO, but now you could also have like a subscriber-only benefit. And you're making an extra $200 from what you were making before, right? Because you're also providing way more value. And so then you've got an ongoing relationship with your customer or your client, right? So in the same way with estate planning, you know, trust administration, things that you're doing, you know, what can you do, right, to make them not necessarily repeat customers, but just having that ongoing client relationship of, yes, they may buy a boat or a second home or something, and they need to include that in their estate, right? So before I give sort of my thoughts about it, let's get in the mind of Martin. And so like, what have you, you know, you've taken the CLE you mentioned, you know, what have you been thinking about in terms of how you'd like to structure this subscription?
Well, I definitely like the model of having a subscription fee that gives you access to discounted services, flat fee services. Because prior to taking your CLE, I was thinking of coming up with a model that was, let's say, around $49 a month, or I even thought about $34 a month. But it got them document reviews, a certain number of document reviews, one trust amendment annually, and a few other things. But when I saw your pricing, I really liked the fact that you get a subscription fee in, but you limit the number of services that subscription gets you. I think that's a much better way to go. On the tax side, I've always, in the last 3 or 4 years, I've published prices. So that I want to be transparent that this is what you can expect primarily in for tax prep. But I really would like to even incorporate some of the tax services and the legal. And maybe, you know, I have an asterisk that says this particular service is provided by the tax side of the business. But I really would like people to say, wow, this is valuable. For $20 a month or for $30 a month, I get a list of all of these services that I can go to that same trusted advisor for.
And I think that is a great adaptation of like some of my recommendations and my examples that are out there that you've applied to your business. I mean, I have some maybe ways to make it better, maybe, but also I think that's a great start. Because at the end of the day, too, like we are used to doing this. Like you, I don't know if you could put this on your intake form. But like, do you have a Costco or a Sam's Club membership? Because if they do, they're already used
they're
to that
used
type
to
of
that.
Model.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Right? I can put anything on my intake form I want.
Right. I mean, you know, like maybe that's like a thing to bring up in casual conversation. Like you could be like, oh, well, you know, last week and I was at Costco. Oh, I go to Costco, too. It's like, OK, this will be a good relationship.
Right.
The person can appreciate the value of paying a membership fee to be part of a club where you get deals once you're a paid member, right?
Well, Matt, it's just like, I don't know anybody who's not a member of Amazon Prime.
Right.
And it's the same model. You know, if you have Prime, you have access to the shipping that's free, the music that's free, and a certain number of video content. But they have so many things to offer.
Right, right. So much of it is the Amazon model as well. I really think, like, I'm one of these attorneys who I am cautiously optimistic with the re-regulation around law firm business models. Like, I am less inclined to allow non-lawyers to own law firms, but I think that allowing things like fee splitting, which we're all doing anyway, it's a different name. Like, when I'm paying for my subscription services to power my practice, I pay for that from the client fees.
Yes,
that they pay.
That's right.
It's just after it goes into my operating account and I've earned the fee, right?
So that's like, right.
So being able to do fee splitting, I think, is like one of these things. But also the way that a law firm works, even if it's only the law firm side of it can only be owned by attorneys, like what you can do, having the tax and financial expertise that you have with the law side of things can just make you this super duper, attorney, financial planning, estate planning attorney. So being able to package all that in a subscription and doing whatever you need to do so California regulatory bodies are happy, I mean, that there's incredible bundled value there, right?
Yes.
And so much of the simple estate planning that I do for my clients and, of course, the market I'm serving, you know, these are people that they can be, as you define, mass affluent, but they're even maybe less affluent than that. They don't have crazy estate plans, but I still have to tell them, talk to a financial advisor, talk to a CPA. You know, some of these things are going to have other financial consequences, and I simply can't advise you on these things. So I think having that as part of your package just makes you're offering more valuable, however you decide to price it. Whether it's, two-tiered subscription membership fees, and then they get access to all these services. Another thing, though, that I just want to highlight for you, Martin, and for the listeners, is when you change over to this subscription model with discounted fees, if you wanted to, I think you could increase your fee if you even wanted to still offer it, because we could go down a whole rabbit hole on that. But if clients still, they're just like, I just want an estate plan and I never want to talk to you again, Martin, you can increase those flat fees now, right? Even if like your flat fee is, again, just round numbers here, is $1,000 for an estate plan, which is low, although that is around what I charge, but it's low. So let's say, you charge $5,000. Let's say it's around $5,000 for an estate plan and subscribers can get it for $4,000 or $4,500. You could still offer that $4,000, $4,500 price to subscribers, but then you take that $5,000 price and you make it $6,000 because realistically, you want people to be subscribers of you anyway. And so if they don't want to subscribe, now they have to pay a premium, right? Where now it's making even more sense and incentivizing them in the direction of subscription. That's something that I think you want to do. But then how do you plus that offering, right? So now it's not just estate planning that they get. It's not just a trust and powers of attorney and pour over will and all that stuff, but it's also, tax something or financial something or some other thing that you could offer in light of your other licenses and experience. And so then that's creating the reason for them to stay subscribed beyond just the discount. Now, a discount's a great reason to sign up for something to subscribe, but how do you reduce churn? How do you prevent them from unsubscribing after they pay the additional discounted flat fee to get that additional work, which is the main thing that they wanted? What are the other offerings that you have? So you mentioned, an annual trust amendment is included with your subscription price. I suggest you make it, they get one a month. And here's why. They're not going to do it. They're not going to need it. But it's a great offering and it's great value. And if they do, then you're going to do it for them and they're going to be super happy with that service and they're going to stay subscribed because they're the kind of client that needs it. And hey, look, over time, and this is why I like month-to-month subscriptions, so you could certainly do this in your engagement agreement if you have an annual subscription, is over time, if you have a lot of clients that like that service, maybe that's a subscription add-on. Maybe it does go to, you know, you let people know, hey, starting next year, you know, 60 days, 90 days to the end of the year, starting next year, we're going to change up the pricing a little bit. I have a lot of clients who are using this feature. It's, you know, in order to make sure I could deliver the absolute best value to you, we're going to, you know, this is going to become a subscription add-on. You're still going to get, you know, 4 amendments a year with the standard pricing. But if you want that monthly availability, that is going to be a higher subscription price moving forward. So if you have a lot of demand, you'll adjust your prices accordingly in the future. But I see no reason why you can't just offer it and people, because, you know, most, you know, people need to make an amendment when something happens.
Right.
If they're subscribed to you, they're going to be contacting you more often. Right. So you could just make that part of your subscription. Alternatively, if you have a 2-tiered subscription where it's like, you know, you're paying, I don't know, $50 a month versus $150 a month, maybe that the difference there is you get that monthly change if you want it, and you just flat fee the amendment for the $50 a month subscribers.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I like that, and this is a version of something I do for my pricing, is now you really rationalize that $150 a month price, because if they were to just do a flat fee every time, you know, it was going to cost them $500 every time they were going to do a trust amendment. Now at $150 a month instead of $50 a month, they could do it once a month. And then, you know, so they're getting incredible value. You know, so by pricing that amendment service at a flat fee to subscribers, then you get that. And so... I mean, we could go down so many rabbit holes. Go ahead, Don.
This is fantastic. And it's, you know, the whole concept of two brains or two heads are better than one, and having an advisory council type of relationship. I just hadn't thought of that. You know, I know this, that you use add-on packages based on the subscription level. So this would not, what you suggested would not be an add-on, but a flat fee for the higher tier to have once a month amendments versus at the lower tier, you pay a flat fee.
Yes, precisely. And okay. So, because this is so new, there's no one right way to do this, right? I think the reason I've designed my pricing the way I have is because I am very broad when it comes to practice areas and not very deep. Mm. If I'm just focusing in on, say, estate planning, then I'm going to want to adapt it to, because people are subscribing to you for estate planning, financial tax, something or other, right? So that's the only reason they're subscribing to you. I unbundle everything and flat fee price everything separately and have subscription add-ons for that type of thing, because clients are coming to me for all different kinds of reasons.
I got it.
But for you, I don't think you need to do that. You could. I mean, I'll tell you, it works. You know, from my perspective, at least for Illinois residents, it works. Every market is different. But I think that you could do both. Look, if you also want to, one of the things I don't like about my model, I have to do it because of I've picked general transactional as my broad practice area, is that there's a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why I don't make it an immediate scrollable or clickable link on my website to see all my prices, is because I don't want to throw too many numbers at people.
Okay.
So, you know, the fewer numbers you could throw at people, first of all, in the client's interest, it's easier for them to comprehend, right? But then as the business person, it's easier for you to manage.
Yes.
You know, like I have a drop-down menu of all these things in my client portal software that whenever somebody hires me for a flat fee service, I got to drop down the menu, find the right one. Or if it's the first time somebody's hiring me for it, create a new type of invoice thing to charge them ahead of time. And so it's fine. Like, and I use automation where I can, and I save everything, so it's all in the system. Mm-hmm. But the less I'd have to do that, the better for me too.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. These are great, great ideas. So much is going on in my head right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is good. And so while that, we'll let your subconscious deal with that right now. And let's talk about what even got you interested in subscription in the first place. And how did you even come across the CLE?
Well, going back to my Allstate days, I've always thought that insurance was a great model because you get paid every month. Most people are paying auto and homeowners insurance monthly. So I've always been a big believer in subscription model. I was taking some CLE near the end of the year, and I had come across your offering on Law Practice CLE on that website. And the first day I saw it, the next day I took your course. So, you know, it's always been on my mind. And just coming from a sales background, financial planning, and the insurance, that's how I ended up subscribing. And, you know, my concern had been, you know, people signing up, getting a flat fee, and then leaving. And I wanted to learn, you know, how do you not necessarily avoid it, but reduce that from happening. So, you know, retention rate has always been an idea that I value in tax prep as well. Like you mentioned, people don't necessarily have to come back to me every year. I do have a good retention rate, but every so often, you know, I'll see people who don't come back, or they'll skip a year, have a bad experience with someone else, and then they'll come back to me. So I would love to be able to incorporate some form of subscription model, whether I combine these or these services or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm so not familiar with the California regulatory requirements for that kind of a thing. But I mean, I think I see some lawyers in Illinois like that are like this law firm, like this is the name of the tax firm. This is the name of the law firm.
Yeah.
So like, and I know it could be done.
Yeah. And I definitely have separate corporations for the services. It revolves around a lot of just disclosing, making sure people know which entity they're doing business with.
And from like a legal ethics perspective, and, you know, just in case people skip the intro, no ethics advice given on this podcast.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking that if they get a better deal financially and, you know, sufficient service, that it's probably in their best interest to bundle, you know, in that sort of a circumstance.
Definitely. And I remember one thing I was going to mention to you is a byproduct of doing tax returns, particularly for small businesses, is I have people who do want to create LLCs and S-Corps. I also get folks who come to me through estate planning and they have a business already, but, you know, they don't have an operating agreement. So some of the offerings that I see that you've done with corporate formation, LLC formation, those are some other things that I do have some experience in doing. So I do see that I could have a valuable offering as long as I package it right and price it right.
Right, right. And I mean, all of the coaches, you know, marketing experts for lawyers will say, you know, the money, the riches are in the niches, right? Like niche, find your niche and lean into that. And it's going to be easier to market and sell. And I'm sure as a past sales guy, like you could, you know, attest to that. I have an interview that's going to be publishing in about 5 weeks when we're recording this. And I was just going back through listening to it. So at the time of people listening to this episode, they'll have heard that one with Mark Stiving. And he talks about something that Robbie Kelman Baxter did, and hers is episode 33. And something that he agreed with her on is start narrow and then broaden out, right? Ooh. So like if you find a lot of your estate planning clients, hey, they also own businesses or they're small business owners, right? Well, then that's the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to expand the business. And you know, look, maybe even depending on what your brand is, you know, I don't know, we didn't actually say that. So what is, do you have your law firm have a name?
Yes, it's 360 Estate Planning, Inc. Okay. And yeah, so that's the name. And in some cases, it's very narrow, but it prohibits me from doing things outside. So I've been toying with maybe some DBAs.
Yeah, DBAs are one thing, or even like another entity, you know, depending on if, you know, for what you're going to charge, you know, how expensive is it going to be to now manage another entity? When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form and scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at gavel.io to get 10% off off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show. In Illinois, we do have series LLCs. I don't know if that's something in California you have. It's still very like, I have a few clients who have them, and there's not a lot of case law on it because it's still relatively new.
Right.
If you consider, you know, how long LLCs have been around. And so maybe like a series would do it. Even though if you do DBAs, I've had some, this is actually, I'm really glad you brought this up. I've had conversations with my professional liability insurance provider. And even if I was using a DBA, I would still have to get a whole other policy for that DBA.
Very good point, because I have been thinking that I need to talk to my carrier about venturing into other practice areas.
Right, right. I mean, even if you don't do your DBA idea, I think your insurance rates will probably change if you start doing other practice areas.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But something to think about. And I'll tell you what, like for me, like, I don't know, I'm spending like $1,200, maybe $1,300 on my annual insurance for a million in light of my practice areas. And I think at this point, I mean, I've been doing this for 2 years now, having my own practice. I could afford another policy if I needed to.
Okay, good.
Right, for a DBA kind of a thing. So it's like one of those things where if I could bring in at least that much money, then it's broken even.
Then it's worth it. It's worth it, exactly.
You know, there would be some other expenses like registering the DBA and like doing that stuff, but I'd still continue to use both brand names. And the reason why I say that is Subscription Attorney LLC does kind of, I mean, in certain circles, like I'm missing out on clients who don't want to hire the target of law firms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine with me. And I'm happy to serve everyone who's fine with going to Target for their law firm.
Right.
But even just like Curbis Legal Service, you know, even like a more traditional sounding law firm, some people, that's what they want to hire, but they still like my prices. So that's sort of what I've been thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
I could use a DBA for, you know, people who want like on the letterhead, they're sending a demand letter. It says a law firm, like a somebody, some attorney's name who's at the law firm, right?
You know, that I ran into that same problem. I wrote a demand letter for a tax client, but when it comes on 360 Estate Planning, Inc., it's like, what's this guy do? He hired an estate planner to, you know, muscle me. And it would be better if it came from the law office of Martin Johnson.
Something like that, right?
Yes.
I still like something that's different. That's why I went with Curbis Legal Service, because then I could have the KLS and like a logo.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, MJS or MLS or JLS or something, right? Johnson Legal Service or Legal Services. So, you know.
All encompassing.
Right, right. Something there. But something I also learned from my insurance, I mean, this is just, you know, everyone should talk to their own, you know, their own broker.
Yeah.
But even if I just sign something under my name, ESQ, that is also not necessarily covered because my law firm is the covered entity, right? So you got to be super careful with these things. And, you know, and maybe for that type of thing, depending on the type of work you're doing, you don't need a million coverage. Maybe you just need 250, 500.
That's a good, very good point.
Right. So, I mean, it depends. And then, you know, for the first year you do that. And then if you brought in a bunch of business under that DBA, now you're up next year to higher coverage. Right?
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's not, like you said, this is good to just talk out loud about these things. These are things I think about to myself all the time, Martin.
Yes.
My guests are usually, you know, I'm usually so much focused on what they're doing that my listeners can learn from. But this is great. I'm getting stuff out of this too. So you already know then, going back to the earlier question, is you're using a trade name that is specific to your niche, right? So that's
correct.
Great. So if you were to do a, you know, you could have this broad overarching, you know, Johnson Legal Service, although maybe that's too generic with a name like Johnson. So you gotta, you know, you'll find something else to do, some domain that's available, and you could do it under that. Or if you just know you're just going to be doing business, then you have some kind of, you know, 360 Business Planning, Inc. or something like that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Some sort of synergy with the alternative business name, right?
Right.
But that would be, I think it'd certainly be better for marketing purposes if it was 360 Business Planning, Inc., because then it has it rhymes, you know, it's similar, not literally rhymes. So, what do you think about something like that?
No, I love it. And as a matter of fact, what I was thinking is I could still create a subscription model under each entity. So the estate planning would have a subscription model, the business planning or tax planning. It doesn't have to be totally bundled. So you know, I think that works.
Yeah, 360 Legal Planning, Inc. is the Series LLC parent, right? And then you have the sub-series that have the...
underneath.
Other, right, all the other types of specific. And if somebody wanted to subscribe to a super package of 360 Legal Planning, Inc., they get everything. If they just need estate planning or if they just need business, they could get just one of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. This has been very helpful. Excellent. Good. Any other questions on your... on the list that you were planning on asking me?
I mean, not particularly. I mean, like the interest in the subscription model is what I think a lot of people like to hear about because, you know, what made you interested in it? But it just was one of these things where you thought about it in the back of your mind for a long time with insurance. And then you saw that there was a CLE on it. So it's sort of one of those things where serendipity, you know, happens. Something that we might be able to talk about is, have you seen any interest from clients in subscription or some sort of ongoing relationship with your clients, or like they're not, you know, they do the estate plan, but then they're not sure if it's okay if they call you, if you're going to bill them for it, or like, you know, what has been the relationship so far and how do you think the subscription model can change and improve it?
I think the subscription model can change and improve it by really solidifying the relationship, because over the last 2 years, I've done a number of estate plans and I've only gotten a few calls here and there. I think the problem is either people haven't had a need to make some kind of change or an amendment, but I'm sure people have had questions and they don't know if it's okay to give me a call, you know, and just get a question answered. That's on the estate planning side. On the tax planning side, it's almost the opposite problem. I have too many people just reaching out willy-nilly, asking questions, and I feel obligated to answer them because I want them to come back and have their taxes done. But it does take a lot of time out of my schedule. And one thing, Matt, that's particularly interesting is on my engagement letter and my published fee schedule, I tell them it's $30 to have reprints of your taxes. I get so many people who don't keep copies of their taxes or they need another PDF, and it takes so much time out of my day. But I could say under the subscription model, hey, you get a free copy of your taxes if you need it. You know, so this is really getting my juices flowing here, definitely.
Yeah, and what I found with the estate planning stuff, because I, you know, I do more than dabble. I ethically represent clients, but it's, you know, in relation to all the other work I'm doing a lot more business law. I'm doing a lot more real estate, but there's overlap. There's absolutely overlap, right? Even the prenups that I'm doing, the premarital agreements, as we call them in Illinois, you got to do some estate planning around that, right? After you get married, your estate plan has to name your spouse in certain ways. They have to get certain things according to the prenup, right? Then they buy a house after they get married, and that's part of the estate planning.
Yes.
You know, so all these things that I'm doing are also related, but it's all these different practice areas. Is, you know, typically, right? Like family, matrimonial attorney, estate planning attorney, real estate attorney. But I'm able to do all these things also because it's typically earlier on in people's lives before things are super complicated. But there's a heck of a lot of overlap. And I found that when I'm doing an estate plan for one person in one family, then they're like, well, you should really take care of my mother's stuff.
Yes. Right?
And so like, it's like with a subscription, it's almost like I wish I could just have a family subscription where like the family could be subscribed. But it's complicated. Like there are legal ethics around, you know, who do you represent and conflicts of interest. And, you know, you have to have them sign all this extra stuff. So what I've just been doing is I've been having those individual people sign up additionally, because it's also for me, it's only $20 a month.
Right.
I'm just signing up. Right. So it's not like... It's an expense they could usually bear if they need legal services. And so it's just one of those things where even estate planning, like when you get into it and people, you start answering their questions, oh, we have to put this in a trust, then we have to change your, you know, we have to put your home, we have to do a warranty deed. So like that's extra work. Like, so I charge a flat fee on top of that for some clients, depending on which package they're getting. And then we start talking about making sure your insurance covers the owning entity, right?
Yes.
Into a little bit about that. And I'm also, I'm sending these people back to their insurance agents, back to their financial people. So like, I'm also missing out on a lot of potential stuff there if I had my insurance license and financial stuff too. So there's like, you could have a healthy law firm law practice with just the estate planning too.
It's funny that you mentioned referring this business out to other licensed professionals. That is one of the reasons why I went to law school, is because as a financial advisor, I was sending a lot of business to an estate planning attorney. And the day he told me he was getting his insurance license, that's when I said, okay, I'm going to law school. Because he literally was going to just go out and get his license so he could do insurance work. That I was sending him estate planning work, but he wasn't sending me the insurance work. Now he's going to go get a license. So,
right.
You know, one of the questions I have based on your background with estate planning, do you see a way to ethically create a, because in your pricing, you have a simple estate plan. And I do some simple estate plans, but for the most part, they are not super complex, but most of the ones I do are more complex than I want to charge for a simple plan. Like you mentioned, $1,000. I do some of those through some of these legal plans that employers offer, but I feel like I'm not getting my value when I do this full-blown plan and I only charge $1,000. So the question is, do you see any problems with simple plan and a not so simple plan, and the actual documents and everything is different?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on like what you've had automated, right? Because for me, it's all automation. And if there's something that's not built into my automation, that a client comes to me and we're doing their simple estate plan and it's a little bit more complicated, well, first of all, I might say, you're going to need this extra service and I can't provide it. So here's a few attorneys I could recommend you
right.
to. That's number one for me, in light of where I'm positioning myself in the market. But if it's something I think I can handle, then I will see, can I build this into my automation? So it's just another question or two I ask every single potential client.
Okay.
And then I just work it in. And if I can work it in on that client, maybe I'm spending a little bit more time on getting their simple estate plan that's a little less simple, but still fairly simple. And then for future clients, like I'll just, it won't be an issue.
It's already there. Right. Exactly.
So that's how I answer that one. And if something goes outside of like what I offer, which is very simple, like my simple estate plan is just like, you could go to Wills and Trusts or LegalZoom or one of these platforms where they're not lawyers and they say, we're not lawyers. This
right.
is not a law firm and you could pay $100 for it. Or is it worth it to pay a lawyer $400, because then you're able to still ask questions of your lawyer, go through
yes.
the document, get some extra advice around it. I mean, still, I'm spending 30 minutes to an hour on these simple estate plans, right?
Okay.
Like I'm spending very little time on these things. I'm not even thinking about the time value, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am thinking about, I want to spend as little time on things as possible and still
right.
provide competent, ethical, useful advice to my clients. So I'm not spending a lot of time on these things as it is. And if I could keep it in that range and I do a little bit more work, because my offering is stay subscribed. And whenever there's any legal anything in your life, I'm your fractional in-house counsel for your life, right? Offload your legal to me so you can get back to what you enjoy in your life or your business, right? All your legal. And if I tell you I'm your in-house attorney for your life or your business, fractional in-house attorney, if something goes beyond my scope that I could handle it, that I could competently handle something, my advice will be, we need to go hire this specialized
right.
attorney.
Right.
right. And that's still really valuable advice to get.
That's true. I think automation is the key as well. It doesn't sound like you have to spend a lot of time with input on these simple estate plans.
I'm going to promo one of my sponsors right now, and that's Gavel, right? Which you could save 10% with. If you use Law Subscribed when signing up, and in their dropdown, there's like a dropdown thing to enter a code. So you could automate all that stuff, and it's client facing. So you could say, great, you signed up. Here's the link. In fact, there's ways. I mean, you need to do some no code or low code with this, so I don't do this. But there are ways where they could sign in on the website in their client portal, and they check out. They say, I want this estate plan. And then they automatically get sent that link, and then they fill out that thing, and then you get dinged only when they've filled it out or they've started
when
to,
it's
but
complete,
haven't, so you
yeah.
can follow up with them. And even then, that follow-up could be an automation too, right? So you only actually have to touch the file when they're done, and they
okay.
schedule that follow-up call to talk about their estate plan that is already made all in the background that you crafted, right? Like you crafted that templated estate
yes,
plan.
Yes.
And now you're going to go through that with them. And that's one of the reasons why I charge as little as I do is so much of it's automated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so plug for Gavel, because you could do a lot of that in that platform.
Excellent. Have you run across anybody using LawDirect?
No, that is a new one. And in fact, next on my list was going to be the technology that you're looking at or that you're currently using. So let's talk about that. So LawDirect, have you used that?
No, I have not. It's very similar to, I would say, maybe a Rocket Lawyer, where professionals can sign up to create a legal document store type of thing. And they have various subscription models as well. So I was thinking about, as a one-stop shop, if people needed documents, they could go to my LawDirect store and I could price some of these documents and they can download, do some of their own editing. So that's one thing. As far as practice management software, I use Smokeball, and they do have a team that will automate documents for me. I use Calendly extensively. I subscribe to the professional version, so I use that quite a bit. My answering service has access to that. I have Calendly on my website. When some of my referral partners send me a referral, I send an introductory letter with my Calendly link. I use TextExpander, which basically is kind of a hotkey software that just allows me to not have to type the same thing over and over again. I just switched over to, is it Gravity Legal?
It was, and now it's Confido Legal.
Yes, so I just switched over to that because I was having a problem swallowing credit card fees because I wasn't using the surcharge method. So I just started that. And so that's kind of the package I use. Calendly, Dropbox, I'm a power Dropbox user, and Confido Legal. I had been using LawPay. Mm-hmm. And my website is Lawlytics because I just needed to get something up a couple years ago and I didn't want to deal with doing it myself or hiring someone to do a WordPress. But I'm definitely open to suggestions around automation, particularly obviously since I'm considering the subscription model.
Yeah, I think some of what you were saying about the LawDirect store and having that, I think you could do a lot of that in Gravity.
Okay.
Or not Gravity.
Gavel.
In Gavel. Okay. So you could do that. And what's interesting about Gavel is I'm pretty sure some of these automations you could sell on a marketplace to other lawyers.
Okay.
So you could also sort of, if you're already doing this for clients and it's successful for you, you could sell some of these to other lawyers too. So you could double up making money from these. So that's something to think about. For Calendly, pro tip. This is going to be a LinkedIn post that will have gone out a long time ago by the time this episode airs. But at the time of recording anyway, Calendly has lowered their prices, but they haven't told anybody. Now, here's the reason why.
Wow.
Is they've lowered their prices, but they have reduced the benefits, right? So if you like the benefits that you're getting from the professional subscription, which is like, I think it's $144 a year.
Yeah.
They've reduced it down to $120 a year, but they've removed a couple of things. I was not using these things anyway. So at the end of your annual subscription, if you pay for an advance like I do to save some money, then at the end of that subscription, you could go down to that new pricing, which is lower. So really quick, so for you and for future listeners, I have this saved in my conversation with Calendly. So I asked them what was the difference between the pricing because it wasn't really clear what benefits I'd be losing. And they said, so now instead of it being the professional plan, they call it the standard plan. And what you lose is routing forms and admin managed events. But if you're a true solo,
I don't use those.
You don't need admin managed events. And unless you're using Calendly as part of your onboarding workflow, which you totally can. And like when I do some podcasting consulting, and so like I have an integration built with Calendly and Stripe, and like I kind of use it a little bit for that, but I'm also like, I'm not trying to identify who's a good client and a bad client. That's what like a routing plan would be. And routing forms are also for like, route it to staff person A, route it to staff person B. So like, I'm not using those. So I might as well save $24 annually. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's marginal, but it's still a savings. So
it is. It is. And I don't use routing or this admin feature.
Yeah. So pro tip for those out there who haven't switched down yet, if it makes sense for them to switch down. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll definitely take a look at Gavel.
Yeah. And with Confido Legal, and I've said this on a few past episodes, formerly Gravity Legal, they can power subscriptions right there. So, you know, if you wanted to, if Smokeball doesn't do it, and I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
I've looked at all these existing practice management mm-hmm. platforms, and the only one that does it is Fidu Legal, and they integrate with Clio. So you could get it through a Clio integration with Fidu to do subscription. But with Confido Legal, you could just have people subscribe right there. And with ACH transfer, it's only 1%.
Yes, I love
it. You know, it's great. The only reason I don't use it for my subscriptions is because I've already have like this other integration built through SweetDash and Stripe. But I will tell you, I'm looking at it a lot and a lot more. And if Confido Legal just added a few basic practice management system things, I would just totally pivot to them because I use them for my trust accounting.
Okay.
So that's where I use them for. So they're great. So Dropbox Analytics. Oh, you also said your answering service has access to that. Well, not traditionally thought of as like a technology platform. It is like an outsourcing thing. So who is it that you're using there?
I use a local firm called Intelligent Office. So they're kind of like a Regis office situation where they have locations in major cities for people who have virtual offices. You know, they maybe have a mailbox, and they need to use a conference room from time to time. And I only use them just to answer the phones for me. And they do make some outbound calls. So they have access to actually go to Calendly and schedule someone for me.
Great. Yeah, if I ever used one of those call services, which I've been thinking about more and more as my practice grows, that I would just be like, okay, get the client on the phone, and you don't even have to do any intake with them. Because like at the end of the day, just get enough information to get them scheduled on the Calendly and explain to them that you're going to talk to the attorney on this date at this time. You're going to get an email. You're going to get a text message, and you could talk about it with the attorney there, and maybe just get a few very, very short description of like what their issue is. Because even if I can't help somebody, I could refer them. Right.
That's exactly right. And that's what they mainly do for me. Yeah. You know, it's a learning curve, though, because there's certain things they don't know. You're an estate planning attorney. We don't really know if you do X, Y, and Z. So they'll call me, I'll tell them, and they have the client on hold or the prospect on hold, and we'll translate that information.
Yeah, yeah. But that, I think we'll see more and more lawyers, like you're on the cutting edge there of like your answering service has access to your Calendly and knows to get clients booked on your Calendly.
Yes.
That is a huge hurdle for a lot of lawyers to get over. And when you pivot to subscriptions, that is something that you definitely want to do. You're not picking up your phone anymore. People are scheduling calls with you. Even if you're billing your time, your client should be scheduling calls with you.
Yeah, I learned that early on.
Yeah. One last thing, which I'm glad you didn't say, but I had in my notes that I wanted to make sure I talked about on the episode for other attorneys out there who they're doing estate planning and they're thinking, you know, I'm going to do like a payment plan. And so they're on a subscription, right? Well, no. A payment plan is not a subscription. It's a different thing, right? And so I'm glad to hear, Martin, that you're not doing that.
No.
And even if you are, like some people need a payment plan and that's fine. But just because you break up your flat fee payment into monthly payments does not make you a subscription business. You have to, it can be a stepping stone towards that. But then you have to think about what is the value I'm continuing to provide with every single payment that month. Right. Or that week or whatever, however they structure the payments. Right. There's a certain mindset shift that's required for that. So glad to hear that you're not just hoping that you could break up a flappy payment and make that a subscription. So let's see. OK, so that's a lot of what I wanted to cover with you. I guess we are kind of at time. So let's do this. I'm just going to ask you the last question that I ask of all my guests, which is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
A hot dog is not a sandwich. Because I believe a sandwich needs two separate slices of bread.
Even if you tear the bun? What if you tear the bun?
No.
So the bread that you're using needed to have been intended to be used separately from each other.
Correct. And I have made hot dog sandwiches, but what I'll do is take two hot dogs, split them in half,
flatten them onto a slice of bread and then put another slice of bread on top. That's a hot dog sandwich.
Okay. You got it. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, Martin, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way to reach out to me is through 360EPI. That's estateplanninginc.com. So it's 360EPI.com. That's the best way to reach out. There's a phone number and a contact form on the website.
All right, great. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's been my pleasure.
And that's our show. Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for being sponsors. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with somebody you think would find value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.